Hey now, it's the last episode of Central Division of 2020, a year that started with no podcast and no quarantine and ending with both for better or worse. Hey, Michael, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? Where are you right now? I don't recognize this scene.
It's a new situation. I'm in Rhinebeck, a couple hours upstate from New York, in a friend's house.
It's cool that your friend would let you build a podcasting studio, you know, on their land.
They're going to be a little surprised when they come back and my gold plated microphone is screwed into their dining room table.
You're the Michael Bublé of menswear podcasts. How's that feel?
It's all right. Do I know who Michael Bublé is exactly? Maybe it's better if I don't know. He seems vaguely familiar. He's a point guard on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right?
Exactly. He's part of our dynamic backcourt. I don't think you need to really know who he is, actually. It's funny. We do occasionally get feedback from people unsolicited sometimes. And it's timely because it's often on their way out as they unsubscribe. In the biz, we call that churn. And someone said last week, too much golf, too much fly fishing, not enough menswear. And I sort of feel like we don't really talk about, I feel like in the beginning, maybe we talked about fly fishing and we've talked a little bit about golf when we did the Masters thing, but I don't think like that. I actually don't feel like that's true.
I think when you do something for an audience of any size, and let's just say a small size, you try to cover a lot of different things, and it's never going to be enough for anybody, or it's going to be too much for someone. And I'm happy to talk menswear, not anytime, but a lot of time. And sometimes it's nice to talk about things that don't seem like they'd be your interest. That's how we expand our footprint. But
it makes me wonder, though, if we talked about menswear sort of semi-exclusively, wouldn't that be deadly? I just think, like, is menswear a topic that should be discussed? And I mean, I almost feel like it's, should I be interested in this? Okay, so I'm getting over that. And then should I be spending an hour every week talking about it? And do people, I don't know. I think unless you're like very hardcore, which I don't think anyone would come into this thinking we're going to be hardcore menswear. You know, I feel like that's like permanent style, or like, I don't know, where else would that be?
I feel like it's a good question. And I think if you become an authority in something, and not saying that we are, but if you were, as soon as people come to you for that, in a weird way, you want to move on from that thing. And you don't want to just talk about what the thing that certain people will want you to talk about. I'm sure if you wrote a certain film, people want to talk to you about that, and you want to talk about something else, or you want to move beyond. The same way we spend a lot of our time being obsessed with menswear in different ways, and then you move on to other interests and you start to like wine or you start to like travel. And I think that's natural. And some people are going to want to go move on to those new things with you. And other people still want the hits, if we can call them. Yeah, totally.
I wonder, you know, sometimes I think, do I need to actually, to be an authority on some of these things, do I need to live the life of some of these things? And part, because I think part of my deal is I want to manifest it in different ways. And a lot of times it's not through, you know, actually doing it. It's more of appreciating it from afar, or writing about it, or, you know, I think that's sort of been, you know, my thing. And maybe that gives me less credibility. I don't know. Are you more real if you look the part? I don't know. I mean, you look the part, Coggins. Are you more real?
I don't know. I think what you know, certain people are always going to want rules and guidelines, and that's useful to them. And I do think that that's important. And I also think, in everything that I've tried to write and kind of support, is that it's a bigger journey. You're learning about yourself. It's all right to make mistakes, and we want to, and it's something about expressing who you are. And I think that's why it's not about this is the rule to make you well-dressed. This is a rule to make you an interesting person, or to have an interesting interior design, or whatever it is. It's got to reflect who you are. And guess what? That takes a long time and there's no easy way to do it. Yeah. But most people are like, how do I, that's why it's like, how do I know if the muffins are done? Okay. Well, you turn the oven to 400 degrees and some people want that intensity and someone else will just say it's done when you know it's done. And someone's like, well, that's not very helpful, but that's almost like, that's what we're dealing with. And I think, you know, you want basic principles for whatever the thing is, whether you're learning how to cast a fly rod, whether you're learning how to write, honestly, and then you move and you try to internalize those principles and then move beyond them. But there's always going to be this friction because someone who's really good at something, when you come to them and you say, well, how do you know it's done? Whether they're a tailor or a sushi chef or whatever else. And just in the fact that you're asking that question, it kind of shows how much you still have to learn in a way. It's like, I was just reading this memoir by the drummer from the Talking Heads, which is a really interesting, in the sense that that band was very idiosyncratic. And you, and now that we think of them as being a classic, hugely successful band, it's easy to forget what was at stake for them at the time. And that they wore Brooks Brothers shirts during the punk era, that they were kind of idiosyncratic, but not hardcore punk. And it was really interesting when he talked about certain effects they were trying to get because they were so unexpected at that time. And that's so great, but you couldn't ask him, well, what's the recipe for this? They would just say, well, it interested us, you know? Yeah. And sometimes you're like, well, why did you get this? Why did you wear this? Why did you, whatever the thing is, it was like, well, I thought it was interesting.
It's funny because you're pointing out sort of, you're kind of saying everything, like you're saying there should be rules. And then you're saying, bro, it's all about feeling, you know, like well, it's the chemistry, man.
Well, I was obsessed with rules when I was young and I would want to know them. And I even asked people what they were, and not, you know, whether it's Glenn O'Brien or Bruce Boyer or this man named David who worked at Barney's, I would ask them a ton of questions. I absolutely wanted to know. And I remember very specifically what I asked, and I needed to know, could I wear suede shoes in the summer? Or could I wear brown tie with a black tie with a brown something else? And I needed to be, to know that that was accepted by a more powerful person, but I was, you know, in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And then you get older and then you just say, I don't care if I'm wearing a belt or not, but you can't get there in a more direct route. I think people want a short way to get places and there's no short way.
Yeah. Do you feel like those rules are meaningful? I mean, and real, the rules of dressing, like it's kind of suggestions, right? Where they're not really actual hard rules. It's more of, you know, common practice has been this and, you know, like black and brown.
I think it's important to know them, because if you're going to go against them, then you want to at least own the fact that you're doing that thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go against society, whatever that is, if you're going to paint your house a very unusual color, you've got to at least know that it's different than the rest of the things in the neighborhood. And so if you decide to paint it that color, that you're in possession of the knowledge of what it means to do that. And so I don't think that they are all suggestions. That's what manners are, but they're also been accepted over time. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to decide to wear a white tuxedo jacket into a room full of men wearing black tuxedo jackets, or you're going to wear something like a red bow tie, everyone else wearing a black bow tie, you've got to at least be prepared to accept the implications of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't do it. You just want to be empowered to know what that means.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You're right. It's all a journey too. You sort of alluded to it. You know, your journey and asking questions and figuring this stuff out, and it's cool. And I think a lot of people are kind of on the internet having that journey at this point, which is even more interesting because it's a lot of this stuff is sort of widely available. Well, should we talk about 2020? Do you want to?
Yeah, let's talk about it. No, I mean, I'm obsessed with rules, but I think it's because I feel like a rule is an example of understanding how you fit into something. And so if you go into a restaurant and they'd only serve a certain type of wine or a certain type of dish, they're expressing themselves a certain way. So I feel like people feel like rules are constricting, but I think of them as first as part of your education, and it's good to have an education. And then you can react against it in a way that expresses who you are. And I feel like one thing that connects everything we've talked about since we've started this, is that people want shortcuts that maybe, and the internet makes everything shorter, but it's better to take time because that then you know more about yourself. And I feel like I really do believe in the importance of rules, but I also believe in, without getting carried away, famous last words, like, it's good to learn about who you are. And ultimately all the things we're talking about are expressions of who we are, but that you can't make that shorter. You know, it's like someone says, should I get a white car? I don't know. I mean, I don't like white cars for the most part, but then I see your white BMW 2002 and it's like the coolest thing ever. It's like, okay, well, that's the one good white car. I like black cars, but that white car is incredible. How can I tell you what to do for yourself?
Yeah, that's funny. It is, you know, I think you do figure all this stuff out along the way, and that's the interesting part. And then all the things you do and the reason that you do things has a purpose or a meaning or a connection, right, to something that already happened, which then makes it more meaningful. And it, you know, I think constantly, you know, I just want to get to the point where I have these quirky tendencies or habits or characteristics that then sort of become, you know, where people look at me or my wife will say, that's just the way he is, you know, and it's, and right, it's like, right, accepted because of, right, practice, you know?
Oh my goodness. I'm obsessed with the idea of how we, you know, I was just writing about traditions and we were talking about them, and I'm interested in how something becomes a tradition. And often it's accidental, and is because somebody does something and someone couldn't be there, so somebody else does it, or who knows, whatever it is. Or I always tell the story of Hermes' famous orange boxes in World War II. They ran out of the color they wanted. That was the only color they could have. And now what else would it be? It's the famous orange Hermes box. Mm-hmm. People keep them stacked. And I like, to me, the tradition benefits from kind of doing it the third time. It's almost like the pop-up flea. Oh, this is just the way it is now, you know, and that's a great thing. Or like, why is he serving chili? That doesn't seem like a thing to do on Christmas Eve. Like, that's just what he does, or who knows what, or like, yeah, it's because you did it for your college football team. And I love that. Like, I think if someone does it with, in a spirited way, we'll go like, yeah, bring me the homemade eggnog, or bring me the whatever it is. Or like you watch, you know, Gone with the Wind on Christmas. All right, I'll do it until I pass out. I'm all for it. Just as long as that's like your wife saying, that's just what he does. Of course, like, you have to kind of stick with it to get to the point where she's like, you know, it's Manny being Manny, right? Manny Ramirez, when he used to do that. And you just got to like, not flip out halfway, you know?
Manny Ramirez, by the way, I mean, that guy was just electrifying. I love watching him.
The best. I mean, I honestly, before it was like, that was like what Twitter was like before there was Twitter. Like, it was just a person who communicated so much through the way he existed. And then just when you think you couldn't deal with it, he would hit this like beautiful double to the opposite field, to the gap. Like, I mean, just the best hitter. So great. And uncontainable in a way.
Well, you know, even using that as a segue, baseball in 2020 just didn't feel right. And never really, I mean, even watching the World Series just felt strange.
Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, everything we did this year was in this kind of shadow of the expectations of how we used to do it, right? So if it was baseball, but there's nobody there, or, you know, just also knowing that we're liking meaningless things in the shadow of an important thing, even mm-hmm. though the meaningless things do have meaning. So that's not really the right word, but something that's a diversion became more, you know, we needed a diversion from, you know, health issues and everything else. And I think that baseball was something that felt, you know, it already kind of operates on a different speed than modern life. And the fact that it was slow, and the fact that it was kind of outside of something, that it took place day after day, doesn't fit really with how the world works. I think they're suffering to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it's sad in a way that I'm not as connected to that sport. And maybe it's partly because it's harder to slow down, even when you know you have to slow down at some time. I mean, I have a really hard time paying attention, especially around the election. I was checking, like many people, Twitter constantly. I mean, constantly. And I changed who I followed, and I was just like staring at my phone. And since then, even though things have kind of been resolved, I've had a harder time concentrating.
You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division, a podcast and newsletter between David Coggins and Michael Williams. To access all of our podcasts and all of our newsletters, visit centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you.